Ready? Okay. So pastor's sick today, so we called in the third string, or fourth or fifth, I'm not sure, but as a Sunday school superintendent, I always have a lesson ready, so let's pray for pastor and have a prayer and get going. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just praise you and thank you so much for your wonderful mercy and love towards us. Lord, we don't deserve the least little bit. Lord, I pray that every word spoken in today in Sunday school would honor you and in church. Lord, prepare our hearts. Let us put aside the busy things of the week and our to-do lists. Lord, and focus on what you have to say to each one of us this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be looking in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And we're going to look at an incident in Israel and how it happened. So if you think about the first few chapters of Joshua, you know, 1 to 5, Joshua kind of takes over. Israel crosses the Jordan. They dedicate themselves to the Lord. And then on chapter 6, okay, and Verizon Wireless keeps calling me for some reason. I'm going to turn my phone off. All right. And in chapter 6, they have what? What happened to Jericho? Victory, yeah. The walls came down. They did what God said. There was a great victory. And then we take up in chapter 7, right after that great victory that Israel had. And I'm going to start reading in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, and read down to verse 6. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went out and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 of men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. And they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. So obviously there's a great defeat right after the great victory at Jericho. Does anybody notice in those first verses we talked about something that didn't happen from Joshua or the elders? Did not seek the Lord's guidance. Exactly. Do you think Joshua did his job correctly as a leader of Israel? Anybody? What do you think? I'll ask a few questions. I like to do that. So, no, I don't think he did. So, but you know what's funny is we look at this and we go, can you imagine going into a battle for a whole nation, being kind of the chief commander-in-chief, and then not asking the Lord what you should do? You just go, oh, I got this. And we look at this and go, man, that's absurd. But how often do we in our lives today go, oh, I'm an IT guy. I know that. Let me just go fix this. I'm going to go in the switch and fix it and whatever. How many times during the day do we not ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me wisdom in this situation, even in the little ones? Me, chairman of the deacons, Sunday school superintendent, how often do I just say, Lord, help me with this? Even the little things. And I forget, just like Joshua. So I think this is a lesson to us. Even in the little things of like, yeah, buying a new house, getting a new job, buying a new car, those big things. But the little things in life, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, what's the best thing for me? And then do it. So why do you think Joshua did not pray? What's that?
He assumed.
Ken?
Overconfidence.
Yep. Pride. and basically entitlement, if you will. And how many, I truly, this is a gardener proverb. I kind of think it's probably true from Scripture, but I think every sin that there is, pride is in there somewhere, little, big, but pride causes so many issues. Oh, I got this. We can do that. I've done that before. Oh, I'm a financial person. We're buying a new house. This will be easy. And then what happens? We don't seek the Lord. And then typically we'll fall flat on our face because something he knew about that he would have spoke to our heart, we just go ahead and do it. So pride and entitlement sneaks into our lives. We don't even realize it. So we must never also take credit for what God did. I think a little bit, Joshua went, oh, man, Jericho went so good. He's kind of going, yeah, we did that, man. But what did they do? Did they take their armies and invade the camp? What did the Israelites do to defeat Jericho?
They followed God's plan.
They followed God's plan, which was walk around 6 days quietly, and the seventh day, shout. And when they shout, the walls came down, because that's how God planned it. So we need to do what God asked us to do. We need to use our talents that God's given us. You know, everybody can serve the Lord somehow. Music, usher, working in the nursery. I have to make sure there's teachers in children's church, the three-year-olds. And like, oh, the three-year-olds, man, they're all over the place. And I would go nuts. That's not what God has called me to do. But adults working with, you know, Sunday school, I can do that. So each of us need to ask the Lord, Lord, what are my gifts? And where do you want me to serve in your local church? Because that's what God wants all of us to do. Okay. Joshua, let's go down back to Joshua, verses 7 to 9. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into thy hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? So then, to make it worse, what does he do? He has a prayer. Is this a good prayer or not a good prayer? What do you think? No, it's not a good prayer. He makes it worse by praying. He's kind of smug a little bit. Lord, how could you do that? Why did you even... He questions God's plan for the Israelite people who he had been planning from eternity all the way back. And he said, why did you even bring us over here? The leader of the whole Israel, the most spiritual man in the whole kingdom, had a doubt. Why was that? Again, pride messed him up. And that says something to me. No matter how spiritual we are, how long we've been... I've been a Christian, 56 years? Man, I can mess up just like somebody who got saved last week. Just like that. And we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me when I do. So verse 7, if you look in the Bible, verse 7 even has an exclamation point at the end. He's saying, Lord, I can't believe you did this. Why did this happen? So we go on a lot of mission trips, and Victor used to say on our mission trip, he's fixing to get some smack daddy put on him, and that meant they're about to get it. And I remember times when our kids were little, and they do stuff, and you know, sometimes it's so funny, they would do something and it's like, okay, they need a spanking, but you had to turn around and go, that was pretty funny, and then turn back around and be the mean dad and give them the spanking. But I think just like that, the next verses we're going to look at now in 10 to 12, he gets his verbal spanking. So in verses 10 to 12, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, lied, basically, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before the enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Wow. So the Lord lets them have it, and rightly so. So let me ask you this. Who sinned? A little bit of a trick question that we're gonna unwind here in a minute. Who sinned? Achan. What's the Bible say? Look at verse 11. Does it say Achan sinned? Israel sinned. Well, wait a minute. If Achan did it, why does God say, and why is it in God's holy word that is, you know, is not right, is not wrong, is inspired? God's word says Israel sinned. That's weird. Why would you say that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So Israel, Achan sinned, but because Achan was part of Israel, Israel was basically took that sin upon them as a group. Let me ask you this. We're going to look at a doctrine that has kind of two parts here in a second, but this is leading up to it. When we're not saved, what is the first thing that we have to do to get saved?
Call
and acknowledge what? Our sin. We're a sinner, right? We go, oh, we all know that. I mean, when I was 4 years old, I was taught the verse, you know, John 3:16. Everybody knows that. What are you talking about, Drew? Well, okay. Well, why is it sin keep us out of heaven? What's the next step? Right. There's a penalty in the payment. But why is sin the thing that keeps us out of heaven? And that's the doctrine, what we're going to talk about right now. So this doctrine has two parts. It's called the federal headship of Adam and the natural headship of Adam. They're kind of two parts of the same whole. So we're going to look real quick at this doctrine. And this actually explains why sin keeps us out of heaven and why we have to thank the Lord that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and took our sins upon his body. And if we believe on him, just like John 3:16 says, he will forgive us and we will be with him in heaven for eternity. Thank the Lord so much for that. But because he did that, he basically took away our sin if we ask him to. So let's flip over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses, and this is going to be a lot, but it's kind of, there's a long explanation and a short explanation. This is the long one and kind of lawyer-like from Paul. So listen carefully and follow along as I read this, and then I'll give you two verses that says it really quick and kind of the same thing. So Romans 5, verses 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, Jesus. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification when we get saved. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteous of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, I'll just read this one too. 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22 says this, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead," and that's Jesus. 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So the federal headship of Adam is this. It's a lawyer-like position. You know, you go to court, who do you have representing you? An attorney? You know, when somebody says, "Oh, I'm going to represent myself," you're going, "Oh, they're going to jail." You know, we have in a court of law, so in kind of looking at in a law-like fashion, which is what's in the Old Testament, because Adam sinned, and all of us are from Adam, we sinned as well. And sin is us. Sin is our life. We are that. So because we're descendants, we, in that judicial representation, Adam represented all of us. Now, the natural headship of Adam just says this. Adam's descendants are guilty of Adam's sin because they physically, because they actually were in Adam. You know, they found out all the DNA and RNA and all these things. They're finding out that your genome. You know, some people, they look at their DNA and go, "Oh, you're susceptible to something, cancer. Or you have blue eyes because of this." Or they can look at our DNA and look at it. But, you know, because of our DNA gets passed down from who? Parents. Our parents, right. So Nathan and Erica just had a little baby. And Ezra. And Ezra is 50% Nathan, 50% Erica. And because of that, as a baby that's, what, just barely a week old now, he is a sinner. Because sin is in the blood. It's in us. It's in us as humans. And as soon as he can understand, we're praying for him to be saved. But he is still a sinner just like we are. So, that's your doctrine for today. The federal headship of Adam is kind of one side of the coin. The natural headship of Adam is the other. But the bottom line is, we are sinners. Not that we sin. Has anybody lived a perfect day ever? No. No, I haven't. So, we do sin. But we as people are sinners. And that's why we need a Savior. And thank God that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who can be our justification, our propitiation, and forgive us our sins. And as many of you know, my mom went to heaven in December. And every time, you know, I'll do something, I'll miss her. I'll see something that was hers or something. I'll go, "Man, I miss mom." But then I think, you know, "I hath not seen nor ear heard nor even entered into our understanding what God hath prepared for those that loved him." And mom and dad are in heaven. And they're not having to put $5 gas in their car. They're not having to pay the mortgage. They're not having to go through the things that we have to go through as people. Why? Because they accepted the Lord and said, "Lord, I believe what you did for me on Calvary. Take away my sin." And they lived their lives as Christians, raised me and my brother to love the Lord and serve him. And because of that, I know when it's my time, where the Lord comes or I die, I'm going to see them in heaven when I see the Lord, because he gave a place for us. So that's why it's such a great thing. Back to Joshua verse 7. Joshua 7 verse 11. I'm good, doing good on time here. All right. So in verse 11, we already talked about that. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, dissembled, and they have put it among their own stuff. So the accursed thing, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Does anybody know what the accursed thing was that he took? gold, silver, and a Babylonian garment. I guess that's like really cool thing. He went, oh, that one, I got to have that garment. But you know, you think about that, it's kind of silly. What was he able to do with that fancy garment? Bury it under his tent. So he didn't even know, nobody saw it but him. So it was kind of crazy when you look at it. Ask you this. So the gold and silver in the garment became an accursed thing. That's what God said. And Israel was under judgment until they got it fixed. So was those three things, were they always accursed? What do you think?
No, just for this.
Right. When did they become accursed?
God said
not to take it. So he said not to take it, but there was a point in time where they became accursed. When was that point in time? What happened to make them accursed things? How about when Achan took it? He went, oh, look, ooh, look at that. Wow, look at that garment. Isn't that cool? And then we'll talk about this in a minute, kind of temptation and going through temptation. But it wasn't accursed until he went, oh, I got it. Okay, now it's accursed. He just stole it and then lied about it. So then those things became accursed. Think about today. What about today? Can things be accursed today? Yeah, I think so. What are some things that can be accursed today? A cursed thing, a great thing to help, or an accursed thing?
Something you put before the Lord.
Yep. How about the internet? You go out on the internet, I do my work, and you search things, and you find stuff, and the sermons on the internet, and you know, listen to sermons here, and things like that, do Bible study, but it also has a bunch of filth on the internet, right? So the internet could be cursed or not. How about credit cards? Credit cards are great until you put too much on them and then you use them kind of month to month and don't pay them off, and then you're in debt, and then you almost can't get out of debt. So credit cards can be bad. Even your job or your family or your house, it's really, how do we treat that thing? Do we treat it as a blessing from God, or do we treat it as, hey, this is what I want to do? So how do we know how the right way to make so things don't get accursed? How do we know how to live, if you will?
Ask God if that's what he wants you to do.
Right, ask God. But also, can we study this? This book is the owner's manual for living. Did you know that? So years ago, for I think our 20th anniversary, we went to Hawaii. And we got this, back then I got a Dodge Viper for a day. That was fun. That was a great car to ride in. But we got this little convertible car. It was a Dodge, but I can't remember what it was. And we liked the Hawaiian music. We got this thing of Hawaiian hymns, and they were singing it in Hawaiian. But it's like, oh, that's Amazing Grace. I can hear it. And we just love the Hawaiian music. So we were listening in the car while we were there. And time to go home, go take the car back to the airport. And then we had been listening to things. I pressed the button, and it wouldn't come out. I'm going, oh, my word. That was like a $15 thing. I'm going to love that. I don't want to leave that thing here. So technical Drew, the IT guy, that figures things out. I'm going, I got this. I know car audio. I'm pressing the button. I'm pressing that button. I'm going, ding, 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 ding. It's not coming out. And I'm getting frustrated. You know what Wanda did? Wanda, she's not technical. She got, opened the glove box, pulled out the book, and went beep, 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 neat. What? And I'm going, how did you do that? I read the book. Ugh. Why didn't I read the book? And so her example was, you know, quit trying to figure things out yourself and busting your head against the wall. Why don't we read God's word? You know, thou shalt not covet is not like, oh boy, I can't covet. God's watching me with a bat. And if I covet, bam, he's going to hit me. No, it's like, if you covet, it's going to get you in trouble, and you're going to hurt yourself. You know, our kids, we'd say, you know, don't reach up next to the stove. We got a new little kitten about 2 months ago. His name is Zebby. We call all our kids Bible names. So our last cat just passed away. It was Levi. So his name is Zebedee, but we call him Zebby. And he is, I forgot what a kitten was like. He goes up the wall. He'll like, of course, you can't take their claws out now or you're inhumane or whatever. So he's like crawling up the wall and we're going, what in the world? He runs around like he's crazy. And just, you know, the things that he does. So all of that to say that, you know, we have to figure out how to treat him and make sure he does the right thing too. So even a little cat. So let's go back to the accursed thing. One of the things, and we've been on a lot of mission trips, and the first mission trip we went to Uganda probably 20 years ago. We were there, and every day we'd eat lunch at this place. So we fly into Entebbe, and we go to a hotel, Uganda, called the Fang Fang Hotel. And the missionary who was there, he goes, be careful what you say, because the lady that runs this place is a Chinese spy. I'm going, oh, great. I got security clearance. Somebody better watch what I say, you know, all this. That'll be great, you know, if we stayed in a hotel where there's a Chinese spy. That's great. I report back to my security officer. I'm like, okay, well, it's just one night before we went out there. So then we go, and we're in Soroti. We're working. We're building the benches that they're still using. The church where Matthew and Alan are preaching today has those same benches that we worked on. What a blessing to go on a mission trip. So let me put in a plug. If you've never gone on a mission trip, best thing you'll ever do. It lets you see the missionaries, work with them, see the people. And Pastor loves missions. When I came from a Southern Baptist church. We've been here 32 years now. And you'd never see a missionary, you'd never hear from them. But Pastor has missions on his heart. And because all these years we've raised our kids in this church, in this place, missions is now on my heart. It's on my kids' hearts. They serve him in different ministries, and Matthew is a missionary in Soroti. So we were in Soroti, and it was time for lunch. And every day we'd go to this place called Taco Something. It had a Mexican name. I'm going, wait a minute, Chinese hotel, Mexican place. Okay, whatever. We're in Africa. Every day at lunch, we had rice, beef stew, and like bread or something like that. And I forget what else. But I'm going, okay. But do you know what we did after we had been working with everybody all day, shaking hands? Any idea what we did right before we ate? Yes. We had those little bottles of, before they came in vogue, of the hand cleaner. And we'd all carry one. And right before we ate, we'd shake everybody's hands. Hey, good to see you. I'm getting that stuff on my hands. And this was the other funny story. We were almost ready to leave. It was the last day there. I'm like, this beef stew's, I said to somebody next to me, this beef stew's a little greasy. He goes, it's not beef. I'm going, what? We've been eating it all week. I said, what is it? He said, it's goat. Oh, I guess goat stew's pretty good then. I like it. I don't know. Anyway, it was a blessing. But go on a mission trip, be with the missionaries, see their heart, see the people. And I'm telling you, of all the mission trips, I've been on 15 of them probably. Those people in Uganda are probably the closest people to my heart, even to this day, 20 years later. And I think about them, and I pray for them. And, of course, now with Matthew, we need to talk to him and pray for them. Great people. It'll change your life. All right. Let's kind of bring this in for a landing then. So Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we need to run away from sin. So I'm going to not read the last section, but verse 13, It says, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You know what? God's not okay with us not fixing things in our lives. We all mess up. We all say things. I said something that's really not true. Hey, I just want to let you know, yesterday when I told you that, I wasn't thinking. I really did do that. You know, you asked me something. Whatever it is, you get mad at somebody. We need to fix things right away. If you don't, and I've seen this happen in my extended family, bitterness sets in. Something gets in your heart. And if you don't get it out, anybody ever got a splinter in your finger? And you're going, oh, that's just a little thing. It's just red. That's the first day. And the second day, you're going, oh, that's not too bad. It starts hurting and it turns red. And you're going, man, I think I need to get it. After about 4 days, you're going, even some dumb like me, you're going, I think I need to get that out. And you get it out and put it in a bottle and I'm going to fix it. Just like that, God can forgive any sin. Any sin that we can do, God will forgive us. But what do we have to do first? Ask. We have to say, Lord, forgive me of that sin. I'm so sorry. I know you died on the cross. You did through pain and agony for me. And I just lied. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. And he will. Right then and there, it's fixed. So even this situation, God had a way out. So most sins start in the mind. We need to be watch very closely what we see and covet. So basically, Achan goes, finally says it's Achan. He said, yes, I did. I coveted that thing. And then, you know, we have to be careful, especially in this area with covetousness. As many of you know, I like cars. Always like cars. That's my hobby. I like, when the kids were little, we used to clean the car up. I had a Dodge SRT4 Neon, and Matthew was little. We were cleaning the lug nuts. And Matthew was probably this high. We'd go, and then we'd go to Chick-fil-A. We were just talking about this before he left. We'd get ice cream, and he remembers going to Chick-fil-A car show and all that stuff. So, and it's funny, he called them nuggets. He said, Dad, are we going to clean the nuggets? The nuggets? Oh, you mean the lug nuts. They're lug nuts, not nuggets. So anyway, he's kind of funny. But about 7 years ago, I got a Dodge Challenger. First big V8 performance car I've ever had. I had an old 68 Charger back in the days, and I loved that car. And I'd had the car about a year. My mom, it was probably 2 years after my dad passed away, she lived in Martinsburg. So we came, she liked our church when she came, and we said, hey, we're going to invite you down. How about, Mom, why don't you move down here where we can be close and whatever? She said, great. So her and Miss Fifi lived in the same apartment building in Herndon and then in Ashburn. But we were moving Mom down here, and, you know, I'm thinking, I'm not a covetous person or whatever. So we got her all packed up, got her all moved, and I had to drive her car, which was an old Nissan Sentra, from Martinsburg to Herndon. So I get everybody else has left. I'm used to I had my Challenger for a year, kind of gotten used to it. And I got the key out. I'm like, hey, I got to put the key in the door and unlock it. My car, I just walk up, key in the pocket, go, psh, door opens. Wow, that's a pain. Okay, get in the car. Where's the push button? This car doesn't have a push button. I had to stick the key in the ignition and turn it. What am I going to do all this work? Okay. And then it was December. I remember this vividly. My car has heated seats. And I will never get a car that doesn't have heated seats ever again. It was like 10, 15 degrees. Where's the heated seats? Oh, no heated seats. Oh, heated seats. All right. Okay. So then I'm ready to back up. I put it in reverse. Hey, where's the backup camera? You know, backup camera. I had to turn around and look to back up. Do you believe that? I turn around and look. So I back up, wouldn't be coming, put it in drive. Does anybody know what happens on 81? What kind of vehicles are on 81 that go 70 miles an hour?
Trucks.
Tractor trailers. They're flying. So I'm used to 500 horsepower. If I step on the gas, I'm gone. I start up the ramp, and I floored it, and it's going, and I'm going, oh, there's two squirrels and a rubber band down there. Please, Lord, don't let me die. Please let me just merge with all those fast things and get on the car. So I got on the car. And then the little yellow jiggies, when somebody's in your blind spot, I didn't have that either. I'm going, what in the world? So you know what I realized when I got home? After 1 year with a new car that had, I would call it luxuries, you know, adaptive cruise control, heated and cooled seats, all these things, I had got so used to that. That was my normal. You know, 4 years before that, mom's car was normal. You know, you didn't have adaptive cruise control and all these heated and cooled seats and all these things. And I said, Lord, I am sorry. I have taken a blessing that you have put in my life. And I just went, huh, that's normal. I'm good for me. I got the luxury package. I'm good to go. And I had to go, man, how unthankful. I wasn't covetous, but I was unthankful and didn't even realize it till I got in her car. So you know what that tells me? All of us can be unthankful for the blessings that God has put in our lives and just not realize it. And so every day we need to thank God. Do you know in Uganda, the average house is a round cinder block thing with a thatched grass roof that is about as big as probably a master bathroom in one of our houses. That's how big those houses are. And they have mother and father, family and kids. They get married. They do another little teeny house next door. That's how they live. Do we take just getting out of bed? Lord, my arm doesn't hurt. You know, years right after mom's passed away, the next day we got all her stuff. Took it to Mobile Hope and donated it, and they actually used it for somebody the very next day. They called me. But we were all done. And Nathan and Josh and all the kids were carrying boxes. I got in the truck, Nathan's pickup truck, and at the very last, I handed the last box down, and for some dumb reason, I'm like, let me just jump down from here. I jumped down and broke my wrist. And when I broke my wrist, Wanda had to help me in the shower every day. I couldn't tie my shoes. I couldn't do nothing. I'm like, wow, Lord, I'm thankful for my wrist. You know what? It goes like this. It goes like this. Just thankful. Until we lose something, we're not thankful. So every day we need to say, Lord, I'm thankful for what you did for me. All right. One more. Let's jump on the last story, and then we'll close. Let's see. Oh, yep, Genesis. Genesis 1, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's the second sin. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman, one, saw that the tree was good for food, two, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be, three, desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So basically, the Adam sin, it became because he was tempted. And instead of going, nope, not going to do that, Achan did the same thing. You know, temptation is a process. And at any point in that process, we go, nope. What did Joseph do when he was tempted? Turn and run. That's what we need to see. You know, the other night, I came home from church And I pulled in the garage, and I got out, and I'm like, there's a black snake in my garage right where I needed to walk. It was a little baby about that long, but I'm like, I don't like snakes. What in the world? So anyway, we got the snake, got rid of the snake. I wanted to say, kill it, kill it. Okay, I took it out. But, you know, that we had to get rid of that thing. But any time during temptation, you can go, I'm stopping. We have to see, like it was a copperhead. I'm not getting close to that thing. Sin needs to be like cancer. Oh, that's not too bad. That was kind of half untruthful. That's not a bad sin. No. Every sin, like cancer, like a venomous, you know, green black mamba in Uganda. It's that thing will kill me. Stop. But as you think about it, and this is what Achan did, he went, that might be good. Well, I'd like that instead of like going the other way. So when you are tempted, the longer you think about it, the more likely you're going to sin. So the sooner you say, nope, not doing that, go the other way, God will protect you. Here's the verse. And there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we need to run away from sin and treat it like cancer. Let me give you one verse and tell you what had happened if he'd waited 2 days. Joshua chapter 8, verse 2. He's saying, go back. For once they took the family out, so his family died. They took Achan out, his family, and stoned them. And because he was in charge of his family, they died because of Achan's sin. Israel was responsible for Achan's sin because he was part of a group. We at Temple, if I sin, I mess up Temple. If somebody in my family sins, we mess up the Gardner family. So we need to be careful about sin in our group. Verse 2, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush in the city behind it. So think about this. If Achan had waited 2 days, he could have had anything he wanted. And God says, okay. So you know what? God's timing is perfect. And we should seek him in everything we do in our lives. And if we do that, he'll bless us. Because he said, no, those things are for the treasury. Do not take them in Jericho. Ai said, hey, take whatever you want. It's good for you. So God's good. So his family, Achan, 36 army men and their families paid the price of dying for one person's sin. Hindsight's 20/20. Look what would have happened if Achan waited. God's time is perfect, and we need to seek God in all our decisions. We can do something. Everyone else can do something, and we should serve God in whatever capacity he wants us. Once Israel repented and did what they had to do to turn away God's judgment, he blessed them again, and immediately they took off and took over Ai. So it only takes one of us to foul up the whole church or the family. Each one of us need to build up one another, encourage others, and run as fast as we can from temptation so that we don't sin and mess up our lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your loving kindness towards us, that you love us and care for us, and I pray today that you would put it in our hearts to flee from sin, just like Joseph did. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy and forgiveness, that when we do repent of our sin, that you forgive us right then and there, and it's just like we'd never sinned. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great gift of eternal life. Be with us now as we go into the service. Touch our hearts. Let us hear from you what you have to speak to us today in music and in word. In your precious name we pray.